Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Asatrasata Sri Srimad Divine Grace H. Sri Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Niru? Niru? Niru Beko. Some water. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Nena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born to the darkest of ignorance, by my spiritual master, my eyes with the torch of knowledge, offer my respectful obeisance unto him. So today, this is 2016, so this should be the 120th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's appearance, correct? By the way, everybody should turn off their mobile phones, starting with me. Everybody has their mobile phone turned off? Anyway, if mine rings, I'm sorry. So, all of us, we want to glorify Srila Prabhupada, right? Today you will hear all over the world, there will be anecdotes, stories will be told about Srila Prabhupada. Books have been written about Srila Prabhupada. There's all kinds of books written about him. Unfortunately, many of the books, most of the book is about the author. You'll be lucky if some of the book is about Srila Prabhupada. But how should we really glorify Srila Prabhupada? What is the way for glorifying Srila Prabhupada? The first thing we have to do, as mentioned by Narahari, Chaitanya Prabhu in his offering, is that we have to understand that Srila Prabhupada is the Sampradaya Acharya. Just like for the Madhva Sampradaya, there are so many Acharyas, but Madhva Acharya is the main one. If all the other Acharyas are not following Madhva Acharya, they're not Madhvas, right? You have to study the teachings. You have to know the teachings of Madhva Acharya. You know, Jayatirtha wrote commentaries on Madhva Acharya. They had studied his works deeply and commented and expanded the teachings of Madhva Acharya. In the Sri Sampradaya, there are many Acharyas, there are so many Alwars, Nam Alwar, but who is the main Acharya? Ramanuja. Sometimes it's called the Ramanuja Sampradaya. He is so prominent. So similarly in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Lord Chaitanya is there, he cannot be ignored. But Srila Prabhupada holds a very special place. Now is it working? Okay. So it holds a very special place in the Sampradaya. He is the founder Acharya of ISKCON. He has spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the Gaudiya Sampradaya, all over the world. His guru, Bhakti Siddhanta, he spread all over India, but he sent some missions to the West. But he focused on India to leave something for others. Right? He left something for Srila Prabhupada to do. So Srila Prabhupada is the Acharya for ISKCON. He's also the Shiksha Guru for everybody in ISKCON. In ISKCON, everybody has different gurus, Diksha gurus. Right? Somebody may be initiated by this guru, another guru. Everybody has got different Diksha gurus. But, we'll just leave it. But everybody has got, but Srila Prabhupada is everybody's Shiksha guru. Diksha may be different, Shiksha is for everybody. It's like in other Sampradaya. Everybody has to take the Shiksha of Ramanuja if you're a Ramanuja Sampradaya. of Madhva, if you're in the Madhva Sampradaya. So therefore, if he is our Shiksha Guru, that means you have to be taking his Shiksha. Otherwise, to just sentimentally say, oh, I love Prabhupada, Prabhupada ki jai, you know, people can say this, glorifying the Guru, you know, as they say, talk is cheap. Unless you're using, except long distance. So talk is cheap. It's to actually make your life, you know, the following of the Guru, of glory, that your life should be in glorification of the Guru. The duty of the disciple is that by his activities, he glorifies his Guru. He brings glory to his Guru. That is one of the lakshanas of a disciple, that he is following the discipline of the Guru, and by his activities, by his knowledge, by his preaching activities, he brings glory. Or this person, who is his Guru? Why are we interested in Bhakti Siddhanta? Why do we have interest in Bhakti Siddhanta? Because who was his disciple? Srila Prabhupada considered himself a humble servant of Bhakti Siddhanta. He said, I couldn't understand what he was saying, but I just listened anyway. Because he was talking over Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta was a walking encyclopedia. So profound, his speaking. But Srila Prabhupada listened to him. So, how glorious is Bhakti? Why Bhakti Siddhanta is so glorious is because look who his disciple was. That's why we have interest in Bhakti Siddhanta, because Srila Prabhupada was such a shining star, it made Bhakti Siddhanta glorious. So if we want to really glorify Srila Prabhupada, then we should also imbibe his teachings. We should get his siksha. And then we will be able to we'll bring glory to Srila Prabhupada. Just like a good son brings glory to the whole family. Right? Or one sandalwood tree makes the whole forest fragrant. Right? So Srila Prabhupada even was explaining in the purport of when Dhruva Maharaj went back to Godhead that he noted, because his mother was his Vartma Pradarshika Guru. She is the one who encouraged Dhruva Maharaj to worship Vishnu. And by that, he became perfect. So when he was on the Vaikuntha airplane going back to Godhead, he was thinking about my mother. My mother, she is the one who put me on this. She's the one who put me on this path. What about her? A second Vaikuntha airplane came and took his mother back. So Srila Prabhupada was writing in that purport that I hope... He's so humble. I hope I have a disciple who will be able to bring me back to Godhead. No. Srila Prabhupada is saying, I wish I have a disciple who can also bring me back to Godhead. So humble Srila Prabhupada was. So if we wanted, so we have to all take shiksha of Srila Prabhupada. So first and foremost are his books. To read his books. At least 1 or 2 hours daily. But even just as important, or maybe even more important, is to every day listen to the recordings of Srila Prabhupada. There are thousands, there are several thousand, at least 2,000 hours, and more are being coming out as they're editing them, as they're fixing them, as they're making them suitable for listening. There are thousands of hours of conversations, morning walks, room conversations, classes, of Srila Prabhupada. And you should listen to this every day. When you read a book, you have to stop everything, right? You have to stop, you have to sit down, you have to read it. Either in paper form, or I see people with their smartphones, right? But a recording, you can do when you're doing something else. You can listen while you're doing something else. You know, when you're taking the bus to work, driving to work, as soon as you get up, you press the button of your recorder, and then you hear immediately the transcendental sound. Huh? What did it say? Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. We sing in the Guru Puja. From his mouth, his lotus mouth, emanates the Guru Vakya. The Vedas come out of his mouth. The purport of the Vedas emanating from his mouth. So as soon as you wake up, you just press that button, and immediately, the body may still be sleeping, but the soul immediately wakes up. It hears that transcendental sound. One time when Srila Prabhupada was at the very, very beginning, to just give an example of how important this sound vibration is, in the very beginning when Prabhupada was on 2nd Avenue, there were many bums, people, drunkards. So there was one drunkard, he was just collapsed, and he was outside. So Prabhupada said, you bring him in. He brought the drunkard in, completely unconscious, inebriated. Prabhupada gave a pravachan, and Prabhupada said, now take him out. The soul has heard. He was totally, the man was totally oblivious. He was obliterated. He was unconscious. The body was unconscious, but the soul can hear. Like the soul can hear. It is the nectar for the soul. So the soul has heard. So if you are hearing daily the words of Srila Prabhupada, when you're doing other activities, brushing your teeth, making your bed, getting dressed, cooking, I would iron my clothes. I love ironing my clothes because while my body is ironing my clothes, I'm hearing Srila Prabhupada. When I'm doing my asanas, I have to do those. They're very boring. But I take extra long sessions because therefore I can listen longer to Srila Prabhupada. Right? You listen to Srila Prabhupada, you hear him. You'll hear Srila Prabhupada. And when you hear Srila Prabhupada, you could just download all this. Everything's available for free practically on the internet. You can just download it all, put it on your smartphone. And it'll be the first, and you listen to it. That'll be the only time that the smartphone will actually make you smart. If you listen to these recordings. And then if you listen to these recordings of Srila Prabhupada, then he will become very dear to you. Right? You will laugh at his jokes. He's a Prabhupada. You'll realize how Srila Prabhupada is extremely funny. He's a very funny person. Sharp wit, he'll make you laugh, he'll make you smile, he'll make you astounded by his knowledge, he'll break your heart with his humility, he'll make you cry. One time I was listening to, it was an installation of Radha, of a Rukmini Dwarkadish in Los Angeles, I think it was 1969. And Prabhupada is speaking, and he begins to explain about the importance of worshipping the deities and how it helps to purify the soul. And as he's explaining it, he becomes very humble. About how his own heart is so dirty. And he becomes all choked up. And he's practically weeping when he's speaking. Because he's... and anybody who listens to it, you can see his humility just breaks your heart. He's so humble. It's like Krishna's humble. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is totally humble. It's like when Gopal Kumar returns back to Godhead, when he comes back to at the end of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Gopal Kumar returns back to Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna embraces him. And he asked Gopal Kumar, every day I was waiting, when will you give me your mercy? When will you forgive me for whatever offense I may have made that you left? Every day I was looking down that path, waiting when will you come? Krishna is very humble. So Srila Prabhupada, his own humility will just break your heart. And his anger will frighten you. He gets angry. Guru is not always like you see some of these gurus, they're all like all smiling. No, Prabhupada terrify his disciples. Terrify them. There's one time in December 1976 when his disciples just completely botched a program. Totally botched a program in Hyderabad. And prasadam, Prabhupada says, prasadam is to serve, it should be good enough to serve to God. Right? But they totally messed it up. They got some bungi was cooking. The one time, Prabhupada, the mystic, so many programs he had been to, but this is the time he asked for a sample. He wanted to taste the food that was being served out to everybody. So he, being connected with Paramatma, he knew Paramatma was letting him know that something was very wrong. So that's the time, the only time he asked, I want a sample. So you can hear it on the tape, the recording, but Harishari also filled me in. Because Harishari was Prabhupada's servant. So Prabhupada sent Harishari to get a sample of the prasadam. And Harishari explained, there was a long queue to get prasadam. And people would take the prasadam in their hands, look at it, and then throw it on the ground immediately. And the street dogs, Indian street dogs are very hungry. The Indian street dogs would come, smell it, and walk away. So Prabhupada was, because then you understand why Prabhupada says in the recording that it's supposed to be good enough for God, not that the dogs won't eat it. Don't be a miser. Spend for Krishna. And he went on. And he was, you could just see he was trying to control his anger. And then some foolish disciple said, but Srila Prabhupada, we didn't have money. Immediately, cut him off. You haven't got the money, I will give it to you out of my own pocket. He was angry. The smoke is coming out of the speakers. he's so angry. The smoke is coming out of the speakers. The devotees were like shaking. Like shaking. Devotees, sometimes like a rose, sometimes like a thunderbolt. He was expressing his thunderbolt. And his voice was controlled. He was not shouting. Well, he shouted a little bit. It was like a laser beam piercing their hearts. They were just all wanted to crawl into some hole and disappear. And so then the next morning, there was the program. Nobody had cleaned the temple. Just like here, it was a little bit of a mess, right? It was a mess. And everybody came late. So then Srila Prabhupada pointed to my godbrother Ram Shraddha. He's a Palghat Iyer from Hyderabad. He said, why you came late? Your parents trained you better than this. Don't learn the bad habits of the Westerners. He said that to Ram Shraddha. Ram Shraddha told me. And another one of my godbrothers, because Prabhupada was angry the temple was not clean. So there was some doll on the floor. So he took a little knife. He had this little stupid little knife and he was like scraping the floor with the knife. And Prabhupada said, what are you doing? He says, I'm cleaning the floor. Prabhupada says, you take that knife and cut your throat. One order of the guru you should not follow. Because he was, this is stupidity. taking a little knife and take that knife and cut your throat. So the disciples are practically all passing stool and urine. It's not like sometimes people have this, they mythologize Srila Prabhupada. Make Srila Prabhupada into a myth that he's all-encompassing, like a big teddy bear. He's not. When you hear directly how Srila Prabhupada is speaking, you will learn how to preach to politicians. You will learn how to preach to Muslims. He was in Iran preaching to Muslims. You will learn how to preach to Shaivites. You'll learn how to preach to cardinals. He met two cardinals. one French cardinal. I can't remember his name. Actually, his brother is a famous Indologist, Cardinal Danilou. So the first thing he said to the cardinal was, "So why are you eating meat? No hello." Didn't say hello, didn't say good day, didn't say, immediately like jumped on him, practically speaking. "So why Christians are eating meat?" Now, if you just heard that, you would think, well, why Prabhupada is so rude? But if you heard the previous 2 months' conversations, you'll understand why. Why Srila Prabhupada is like this? You have to hear the whole thing in chronological order, because you will then be with Srila Prabhupada. You'll be with him going around the world, so many different places. You'll understand why he said something in the Gita class. You'll understand why he said something, to this. You'll understand why he said it to the cardinal. Why did he say that? Because a couple of months earlier, he was in England, and one mother came. And she was upset that her son became a disciple of Prabhupada. She was upset. "Well, my son, he was a good Catholic," but she brought a priest with her, And she was trying to tell Prabhupada, let him come back. He was going to be a doctor. So many different reasons. She was a very nice lady. Very nice. Very polite. Like that. And then they started a whole discussion. And then, then the priest was saying, "Oh, we can eat animals." There's all kinds of crazy stuff, that animals don't have souls. So Prabhupada, for several months, Prabhupada went through a whole discussion, about this, this Christian belief that you can kill animals because they have no souls, blah, blah, blah. So then, that's what you understand, why when he meets this French cardinal, he jumps on the man immediately. "Why you're eating animals? This and that. If you are praying for mercy, but you're not merciful." So many, things like that. And then later in the discussion, when they're driving back, Prabhupada explains why he was like this with the cardinal. Another cardinal he meets, an Italian one. They had a very nice discussion. The cardinal was very appreciative. "We're both friends of God." Had a nice discussion. Or another time in Australia, it was the Christians who saved the movement. The Australian police, the Australian government was trying to shut down the devotees because they were going on Harinam in the streets, right? So it was the Archbishop of Australia, I think of Sydney or Melbourne. He wrote an editorial in the newspaper saying, the headlines, "Stop harassing the servants of God." And then the government immediately let the devotees alone. That was the Archbishop Catholic. Why did he do that? Because he was a Franciscan. He became very close friends with Srila Prabhupada. They're vegetarians. And he went to the monastery of the Franciscans. He was giving classes there. They very much appreciated him. And then they asked him questions about St. Francis, and he gave an explanation and appreciation of St. Francis of Assisi, not the one from Goa, St. Francis of Assisi, glorifying him because he was a real devotee of God. He was a real person like that. So when you listen to these lectures, these conversations of Srila Prabhupada, you will learn how to preach to the most simple persons, to the highest persons. How one time, one of his disciples, mother and daughter, the daughter was dying. The daughter was dying of some disease. She came to see Prabhupada in Vrindavan. So the mother, also a disciple, trying to explain to Srila Prabhupada, how the daughter is in the room, says, "How my daughter is nervous, she's dying, there's no cure." So Prabhupada says, "Okay, no problem." So he said to the girl, "I'm going to die. She's going to die. She's going to die. He's going to die. He's going to die. He's going to die. You're going to die. So what's the problem?" So the girl, she didn't quite get it. I said, "Okay, listen again. I'm going to die. You're going to die. He pointed at everybody in the room. They're all going to die. So you understand? What's the problem?" Still she couldn't get it. So he did this about several times. Then finally she got it. "We're all going to die." And then for the rest of her time in Vrindavan, till she died, she was very peaceful. Because "I'm going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. We're all going to die." That's, you know, the Srila Prabhupada dealt with very practical problems. If somebody came to you and said, I'm going to die, you might get all mental and this. He just immediately went to the point. We're going to die. This is the facts of life in the material world. And then, you know, so you will learn all these things by, you will be with Srila Prabhupada. Why are people, why do we hand out books? Why do we distribute books? Because, you know, what's the, like, as Srila Prabhupada said, what is the value of your 5 minutes of preaching? When that person has that book, Srila Prabhupada is directly preaching to that person. You know, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna, Vyasadeva, everybody. You know, they're having direct association. So when you are listening to Srila Prabhupada, you know, imagine if we had the recordings of Ramanujacharya, if we had thousands of hours of conversations of Lord Chaitanya. It is directly. Actually, one time Prabhupada was walking, I think it was in Pacific Beach in California, somewhere in the California, and the conversation came up. Separated energy. Krishna, my separated energy. Everybody heard Prabhupada write, you know, the concept of separated energy. Who has heard this, you know, Prabhupada say separated energy? Right? Never heard that before? Separate, okay. So people were trying to understand, what does this mean, separated energy? So they were recording Srila Prabhupada. They had two recorders, right? So he said, okay, turn this one off, rewind it, and now play it. It says, and then you hear the recording of Srila Prabhupada talking. It says, that is my separated energy. This is my separated energy. So if a book can convince somebody to become a devotee, by hearing Srila Prabhupada, it will remove all insanity. Your own insanity, the insanity of everything around you, the insanity you might experience in ISKCON, all insanity. All kinds of different, you know, it will remove it all. It's directly from Srila Prabhupada. He will teach you how to preach even in the most difficult circumstances. You know, he was walking in California. He got the report that in London, the government had banned Rath Yatra because we were going to start from Trafalgar Square and then Rath Yatra. And the government banned it. So he said, just like a good businessman can make money if the market is going up or if the market is going down, we can preach no matter what. And he began to organize political disturbance, agitation against the British government. He didn't see this as an obstacle. He says, oh, this is a preaching opportunity. Everything to Srila Prabhupada was a preaching opportunity. A reverse was a preaching opportunity. Now we can preach. He was not afraid of court. He was not afraid of the courts. In 1976 or early 77, there's a big court case against us in the United States. They were kidnapping devotees, brainwashing them. We were in the courts. Prabhupada loved it. He wanted to extend. Usually you hear court cases are a waste of money, right? You pay the lawyers. Prabhupada says, I will spend every penny. Keep this court case going. Because he says, first we have to give the judge all our books and he has to read them all. All the other attorneys have to read all our books. And we will preach from our books. And that became everything became very favorable because the other religions, the whole bar association became all on our side. It became a tremendous publicity for ISKCON, which we didn't have before. Prabhupada, he wanted to extend that court case as long as possible. He was willing to spend any amount of money. You will hear Srila Prabhupada walking in Delhi. Now in Delhi we have like 8 or 10 temples. Then we had nothing in Delhi. We were renting some house in Greater Kailash or something, you know, different places. We had something in Vrindavan, but we had some small little house. If you want to have prasadam, you have to go to Connaught Circle, you know, eat at the Vega restaurant. So Prabhupada was walking on the road. And as we're walking, he looks, oh, there's a building. He's trying to find a building where he can hold programs. He says, I am willing to spend as much money as possible just to make one devotee. I will spend any amount of money just to make one devotee. You will learn that if you listen to these recordings of Srila Prabhupada. That nothing, his whole life, just to make even this one devotee, this whole movement, just to make one devotee. When he says devotee, he means pure devotee. Not many, many little stars. But a moon, he wants a full moon. Full moon is worth more than millions and millions of stars. So you will learn, which Prabhupada's emphasis, that there's no limit to what money can be spent just to make it, not to be a miser. So you just listen to these recordings, you read the books, you live the books, you distribute the books, you make yourself, you allow your Krishna consciousness means to conform your mind to the mind of Krishna. That's what it means to be Krishna conscious. Because we haven't got any choice in anything else that we have. We have no choice in how tall we are, what color we are. The only free will we have is to conform, is how we think. To conform our mind to the will of Krishna. To conform our mind to his pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. That only can come if you know what Srila Prabhupada said. It only can know if you know what Srila Prabhupada wrote. So they might change his books. That's possible. But they can't change his recordings. There's thousands and thousands of them out there. So please, if you want to glorify Srila Prabhupada, you know, mold yourself according to his teachings. Then you will become a glory to Srila Prabhupada. Anybody have any questions? Any comments? Yes. Give him a microphone, please.
Does this hint that we should emphasize Prabhupada's recordings as more of an authority than his books?
No. You should do both. But then you'll also understand, but a lot of stuff is filled in. If you have the, you know, everything is in his books, but more is also in his recordings. You'll see how Prabhupada did things, right? And you'll also get you'll develop love for Srila Prabhupada. Like some people, you know, they think, "Well, I'm not a Srila Prabhupada disciple. I wasn't there." But how did Devahuti develop love for Kardama Muni? She heard about him. Why did Rukmini want to marry Krishna? She never met him. How did she develop this love for Krishna? She heard about him. She heard about his qualities. Right? So when I still remember the day. It was November the 15th, the day after Srila Prabhupada left. So I only been a devotee for about a year and a half. I hardly met Srila Prabhupada. I saw him very briefly in Mayapur. He came close to me one time in Mumbai. I picked up a flower he had stepped on. That's it. I heard some lectures. I was extremely ill. So the next day after I got news that Prabhupada left, I wrote it down. I have it written down what I felt. I was cooking in Hyderabad. I just felt some sort of like a little bit of a vacuum. I felt a little bit down. But you know, I didn't know Srila Prabhupada. I had surrendered to him. But after reading his books, I said, okay, he's my real father. But there was not such an attachment. But after reading all of his books and listening to Srila Prabhupada, I mean, people become crazy for some stupid actor. You know, I'm told that there are villages still in Tamil Nadu where they think MGR is still alive, you know, or that Elvis Presley, you know, what to speak of Srila Prabhupada by listening, I developed a very strong, a very, very, very strong attachment. Or I had one person who wanted to be my student. I'm sort of like a shiksha guru. So I said, the prerequisite is that I won't accept you as a student unless you read all of his books and listen to all of his lectures. So he started reading all of Prabhupada's books. You know, he's going on for a third reading now. And he listened to Prabhupada's lectures. And he started dreaming about Srila Prabhupada in his dreams. He became full of ecstatic. In fact, he was so ecstatic, it encouraged me to read more and listen more. Because Krishna consciousness actually works if you do it. If you do it, it works. So, Srila Prabhupada's the books and the recordings, they are mystical. They're ever fresh. You can read the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, I don't even know how many times I've read the Bhagavad Gita. I can't tell you. 50, 100 times I've read the Bhagavad Gita. Every time I read it, I see something is new. Something new is ever fresh. The same thing. I've listened to all of the recordings. I think now I'm on my fifth or sixth time. There's thousands of hours. I just started again, just like a month, last month. I finished. The Prabhupada left his body. And also they're coming out with new releases of new edited stuff. So one time, it's like in 1991, I had to leave my flat. I gave notice. You know, and as the date came closer, you know, I had still a lot of work to do. So about the last 10 days or 2 weeks, all I was doing from morning till evening was packing. Just eating, sleeping, packing. No japa. I didn't have time for japa. So normally if I don't chant my japa, I feel very terrible. But I was listening to 12 to 15 hours of recordings every day. So after about the 10th day, I was thinking to myself, you know, as a recording is going on, I was thinking to myself, it's very strange. Why do I feel so good and I haven't chanted my japa in 2 weeks? At that very second, at that very moment, Srila Prabhupada in the recording said, because the words of the Guru is Krishna speaking to you. My question was answered. Because the words of the Guru is Krishna speaking to you. So if you want to hear Krishna speak to you, you listen to these recordings. It will fill in a lot of blanks. And it will just teach you how to be a devotee. And how he interacted with so many different types of people. High dignitaries, politicians, prelates, children, everybody. And you'll learn to love Srila Prabhupada because he's totally lovable. He is extremely funny. You will not be disappointed. You will not be bored. Srila Prabhupada can imitate any sound. You'll learn that. He's extremely quick wit. And he loves Krishna. He loves Krishna. And he loves to tell jokes. and he terrifies his disciples. Any other questions? That's it? All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Good night.
Whoa.
Good night, this is Rish Shamsundar Prabhu. I love the chanting. Arimo!
Arimo!
Arimo!